You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Welcome to In the Grand Theme of Things. Fear for your lives, the dubstep episode is here. This is the first installment of In the Grand Theme of Things that comes from a listener suggestion. Although really, between you and me, and because I'm posting this on the internet, it will go no further. I think this was a dare, and I'm pretty sure it's one that was not meant to be taken seriously. But the funny thing was, I got an email from a friend of mine regarding the Blaster Beam installments, saying, well, next thing you know, you'll be talking about dubstep soundtracks. Yeah, bet you can't fill an episode with that. And I sat there and thought of three examples right off the top of my head. Boom, we're off to the races. Here we are, the dubstep episode. So, this is not to be taken very seriously, which is probably a very good attitude to have when it comes to dubstep. I suppose at some point I should explain what dubstep is. It's sort of a subset of electronic dance music. A lot of people find it very annoying. But one of the best explanations I've ever found for dubstep comes from a Key and Peele sketch that was on Comedy Central. So I'm just going to jump straight to that clip and let you try to digest it for yourself.
I love it.
Mind if I put on some music?
I do not.
All right.
I do not.
I got this new dubstep.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Oh, dude, you're gonna love it.
Oh, cool. Cool, man. Oh, I like this.
Wait for the drop.
I'm sorry, the drop?
What is happening? What? What is this?
I can't hear you.
Oh. What is that?
The music?
I'm sorry, is that music?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's the dubstep, man. That's my jam.
Well, it's a little loud and disorienting, and you know, you're being a little rough with my things.
Rough with it? Dude, your stuff is fine.
It doesn't really seem like music to me.
Okay, wow. Wally getting a little bit old.
No, don't right. do that. Come on.
No, didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah, what would you rather listen to? I can hook you up with some Hootie and the Blowfish. If that's your...
Oh, that's funny.
Is that good? Color Me Bad?
You know what? Go ahead. I don't care. I see what you're doing. Go ahead and play it. I don't care because I'm not that old. I can get into it, okay? Let's just get this stuff packed. Play it.
So, there you go. Best explanation I've ever heard for dubstep. It's not much of an explanation, but it certainly very well illustrates quite a few people's attitudes toward it. The thing is, what's funny about this is that dubstep is so 4 years ago. It really is. This is 2014. Dubstep was happening in the clubs 2010 and earlier. It's been happening for over 10 years now. The thing is, it's just the latest EDM style that has been misappropriated by the mainstream. And so now we're starting to hear it show up a lot in soundtracks. Well, not a lot. Some of the stuff I'm playing today is not exactly obscure, so this is a bit more mainstream than, oh, say, the Blaster Beam. Even if the entire style has not been appropriated by Hollywood, elements of it have. I was surprised by how many times in the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, for example, that sub-bass drop sound, the boom, which that is probably the stupidest thing that's ever escaped from my mouth right there, but that is all over the soundtrack from Guardians of the Galaxy, which is otherwise a fairly straightforward orchestral action movie soundtrack. So bits and pieces of dubstep have been appropriated by other genres. But what I was looking for today, and what I found several examples of, was the entirety of the almost cliched dubstep playbook making its way into a soundtrack, not as source music. Source music, in soundtrack terms, is music that is playing in a scene that the characters can hear. So it would be music in a club scene, music coming from a jukebox that you can see in the scene. If there is a source for the music on screen and the characters can hear it, it's source music. If there is no source for the music on screen and the characters do not hear it, it is score. It's fairly simple terminology, but a lot of people don't know it. So what I was looking for was dubstep in a soundtrack that is not source music. It is actually the score. Someone chose to score the movie or show this way. So what I came up with today are the soundtracks from a major, fairly major movie in the past year. Soundtrack from an anime show, and a soundtrack from a video game, actually an online massively multiplayer game. And again, not a terribly obscure one either. This stuff is all out in the wide open. First thing let's start with is let's go to the movies and see how Hollywood has appropriated the dubstep style book. First section we're going to hear comes from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was scored by Hans Zimmer and a supergroup of sorts called the Magnificent Six. The Magnificent Six consisted of Pharrell Williams, Junkie XL, Johnny Marr, Michael Einziger, Andrew Kaczynski, and Steve Mazzaro. So you really have kind of a modern-day supergroup. I would hesitate to put them in the same category as, the Traveling Wilburys or the Highwaymen, or there was some other supergroup that I completely forgot. Little Village, there it is, that's what it is. Wow, it's amazing the depths of useless information that reside in my brain. Anyway, here are some selections from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was out this year. This was out, I should give context to this year because this podcast is going to outlast this year. This was out in 2014, and obviously not some underground flick. It's music by Hans Zimmer and the Magnificent Six for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. We'll be right back. Music from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, composed by Hans Zimmer, performed by Zimmer and an all-star menagerie of big-name producers and performers. Obviously not obscure. And also obviously not source music. That was part of the score. The characters couldn't hear that. The audience could hear that and probably wondered, what the hell was that? Why would you score a movie that way? Well, it turns out you could score just about anything that way. And yeah, Hans Zimmer also is not, he is not an obscure composer, and he is one who does spread his wings quite a bit. He, you know, will appropriate styles the moment he hears them. The only problem with dubstep winding up in soundtracks these days is that, you know, like I said, dubstep has been on the club scene for years and years, and it's not exactly new. What you have here is a bunch of composers who are in their 30s through their 50s saying, you know what? I heard the kids listen to this all the time now. I'm going to try to use it in something. Of course, by the time the project rolls around that they use it in, by the time the project actually gets to where an audience can see it, the music is a little bit out of date. But this is not an uncommon occurrence when soundtrack music tries to appropriate elements of EDM. I think that's one reason why you have so many composers and so many projects stick strictly to orchestral. I mean, if you're going to already sound dated, let's throw everyone off by sticking to a 19th century romantic orchestral style instead of doing something that sounds like it should have been about 6 years ago. The next selection we're going to listen to is by none other than Bear McCreary of Battlestar Galactica fame. These days he's also scoring The Walking Dead and many others, including this show. Although this isn't a show, he scores the show Defiance for Sci-Fi, but if you remember, part of the rollout for Defiance when it was first premiering on Sci-Fi was that there was a massively multiplayer online game that supposedly would have influence over the outcome of the show. Now, that element of the Defiance franchise, because they were trying to roll it out as a fully formed franchise, that element of it has kind of quietly been swept under the rug. I don't even know if the game is still out there. I certainly know that there's not a whole lot of talk about it having influence on the show each week, which is a silly claim to make because the show has to be filmed and post-produced months ahead of broadcast. How could what's going on right now in a massively multiplayer online game possibly influence it? What I do know is that Bear McCreary scored both the television show and the game, and jumped headfirst into the dubstep style for the score of Defiance, the video game. Those were some highlights from Defiance, the video game, not the TV series, but the related video game, scored by Bear McCreary, as the series is. Interestingly, about the time that Defiance premiered, the score for the video game, and of course the game itself, rolled out well ahead of the television series. Our next selection is kind of interesting because I have played some music from this show before. I'm not playing you the same music today. This is a completely different assembly featuring completely different parts of the soundtracks available for this show. Taku Iwasaki scores the anime reboot Gatchaman Crowds, which airs in Japan, but it has already been dubbed and has been airing in the U.S., and I forget the outlet where it's been airing because it's been so long since I even bothered to check the show out. Gatchaman Crowds is a reimagining of the 1970s anime Gatchaman, which we in the English-speaking world know by the name Battle of the Planets, which is how it was localized in the 1970s. Gatchaman Crowds is just a top-to-bottom reboot of the concept that does not try to continue or even hint at continuing the story from the 70s. It's just using most of the major plot elements, or most of the major plot setup, I should say, to create a new show. Now, I did an episode of In the Grand Theme of Things a while back dealing with all things Gatchaman. Actually, it was a two-parter. I think the funny thing was that I said at the beginning it was going to be a one-parter, and the hell it was. The thing about Gatchaman Crowds is that it gleefully, more than anything else I'm playing for you today, it gleefully blends dubstep in with orchestral, with other styles of EDM. There are operatic elements. I like the music better than the actual show. But for this particular episode, for the dubstep episode, I decided to come up with a completely different mix of music from Gatchaman Crowds, which has two soundtrack CDs out already, trying to highlight the dubstep and EDM elements of the score and how well Iwasaki really blends them all together. So here are some selections from Gatchaman Crowds. We'll be right back. So that's it for the dubstep episode. Are your brains rattling around in your skull yet? Do you live in fear of another dubstep episode? You shouldn't really, because I think that's about all I can handle. Here's the thing about dubstep, and I'm going to be unusually candid about this, because one of the points of this podcast is to expose you to stuff maybe you haven't heard before, or to some old favorites. But I try never to just wholesale piss all over anyone's work, because we all have different moods at different times. And obviously, there was at least one whole night where I was in a mindset for dubstep and was able to edit together these selections for you. On a dare, remember, you have someone to blame for this. But here's the thing. I've talked before about things like the blaster beam, the theremin, that have very limited applications in film scoring and TV scoring and game scoring. Surely dubstep is even more so because of the unpredictable nature of it. I mean, I can't even see spending an entire night of dubstep on the club scene. I'm sure someone has. I'm sure someone does it every day. It's just not a scene that I'm part of, and so I don't know about it. But, you know, even as dance music goes, how in the world do you dance to that without just, you know, giving up and having a giant epileptic seizure? Which is kind of what the music sounds like. It sounds like the musical expression of that. Since it's been around long enough to go slightly mainstream, everyone from pop radio to Hollywood is appropriating the dubstep. I'm sure this will not be the last time you hear any of it. Fear for your lives, prattling mortals. There may yet be another dubstep episode, but not today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now. In the grand theme of things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.